If you will, get your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John for me. The Gospel of John, the second chapter. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to do, do it." Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, they said, "But the servant who had drew the water knew." The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginnings of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you today thanking you, Lord, thanking you for your Spirit, the one that you have left us, the one that you call the Comforter. And so, Lord, I pray that you will allow this Comforter to bring a comfort to our hearts. Lord, I pray that the words that come from my mouth, Lord, is not of Jason, but it's of the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that we will have a time of fellowship here, Lord, that will be one that will be praiseworthy to you and honoring before you, God, but also one that will touch our hearts in a way, God, that it will give us the charge to go out of here, God, and be who you called us to be, disciples of the true living God. And so, Lord, I thank you for 33 years of celebration at this local body. And, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to show up and show out in this place. And, Lord, we pray that in all things that we do, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Today, I'm going to take my time because I've learned when I get excited, I can forget things. But I will get excited. As y'all know, as Leroy Jr. said, that I may have some jokes, but there's a personality in here. But for a moment, I'm going to reserve it because I got to get some things situated. And so I started praying and I asked God, "What do you want me to talk about for 33 years? 33 years of celebrating, lifting up your name." And I want to tell y'all that I am an honorary member of New Berean Baptist Church. I want to let you know, as a young boy, though, I did put my name on the roll call for a few seasons. I got tired of going to the church my mama was going to, and I wanted to come over here when they was over in Portsmouth, right behind Molesburg Chicken. I don't know if it was the chicken that called me and it was smelling so good, or it was the preaching and the teaching, but I know that I was over there for about 3 years and I enjoyed it. And I remember, as being a mama's boy, as my mother is the older sister of First Lady, and of course she has to go support her sister and her brother-in-law. And I remember going to Camelot so many times. And luckily, I had cousins that I could play with, because my mama would get lost around there talking to Pastor Ricks. And one thing about Pastor Ricks always taught, but he taught with a purpose. In And that man helped my mother a lot of times. He knew when she was down. He knew when she needed a word. And he was there for his sister-in-law. And I got to play with my cousins. And sometimes I just didn't want to go home. And sometimes, y'all please forgive me, I know this is a little. But a skinny pimp would say, "Jason, you don't want to go home, Jason." She would talk to me like that. She didn't talk like that in general. That was just her love language to me. And I was like, uh-uh. She was like, "You want to stay tonight?" Yeah. And I remember staying tonight, and it was beautiful. But I also remember when they launched New Berean in their house. And I was there for a Bible study. And I started thinking back, and I was just like, man, God. I remember pulling out them fold-out chairs, Newt, and having Bible study. And I think I went outside a little bit. I don't think I stayed for the whole time when they was doing it in the house, but I do remember being there. And I started thinking, and I said, I wanted to preach about the Bereans. You know, because one thing Pastor was, a nickname was called Serious. He was serious when it came to that word now. He had a joke for you, but he ain't play with that word. I don't care who you was. You don't dot the I and cross the T, he gonna let you know in love. And so I said, man, I wanted to preach a sermon called It's Time for the Bereans. Because I believe that we're living in the season of some last days. And I know one thing about the Bereans, they search the scriptures. I believe that you're going to have to be a walking Bible in these last days. I believe that you're going to have to know this word and rightfully know how to divide it to be able to pull those that are stuck into their stuff out of the darkness that they're in. I think it's going to sometimes take somebody caring a little more than a person care about themselves. Sometimes I believe that it's going to take the qualities of you fasting and praying and waiting for God to be able to call your name to this person or that person or this situation that you're going to be able to help other people transition out of foolishness. And I believe that if you don't have this word hidden in your heart, and if you're not walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, we're going to miss some opportunities. And I just told Pastor Kaysen back there, I said, I just want to be in that place where I can redeem the time. Because I've had times that God has called my name to some things and I didn't answer. I've had times where I open this book and I read it, but it don't speak to me. I have times that I preach the word, but it just didn't fall on good ground because I didn't put it the time in like I should have. And I said, God, if I just want to, I want to do your will and do your way, because sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but as I was telling Pastor Kaysen, that sometimes what God calls you to can be so fearful or it can be so heavy that you'll run away from it out of fear. But I learned that I'd rather walk through a door that God is with me than not be in his presence because I walk away from him. Fear can be a monster. But when you hear God go silent, that's different. But I thought God would never leave you or forsake you. He won't. But God does not always tune into our foolishness. He doesn't always abide in our mess. And I'm so glad, but I also am so glad that he's faithful and that his grace is sufficient and that he chases after even the hard-headed ones like me. So the Bereans are the people that we're going to need. But that wasn't what the Lord told me I could preach about. I just took a little minute to tickle your ears because that's what I wanted to preach about. But I'm going to leave it there. I'll tell you this, I got convicted yesterday. I was sitting there and I came to the cookout and I was talking to a group of ladies. And we were just talking about how We've had seasons where we've been mad with God. We've had seasons where we thought it wasn't fair what we was going through. We've had seasons where we don't think God really cares. Is that anybody in here? You ever had that season? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was in the right place. I know y'all real spiritual. I know y'all real holy. Y'all looking at me up here like, this is who y'all called to do our 33rd anniversary? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, I have run weary. Yes, my cup has gotten dry. Yes, my mouth has gotten dry. I'm going to have this on standby. Amen. Can you put the title up there if you have it? If not, okay. Why whine about it, but celebrate what I can do about it? Yeah. Ooh. If y'all know what I saw, I'm going to try to make sure you see it. So when I thought about celebration, I thought, why not celebrate the one who lived what we believe is 33 years on this earth? It's only fitting that we're on the 33rd year of New Berean. And if we're going to talk about beginnings, because as we talked about the history, and I talked about Camelot, and I talked about where it started, and as we see that the man of this house that we knew as Pastor Ricks have gone on, but the ministry don't stop, is what I heard Leroy Jr., his own son, say. Because the ministry is bigger than one man. But that one man was very valuable to us. But sometimes you got to understand the ministry is only about one man. But it's not in the flesh. It's a man by the name of Jesus that I want to talk about, if I can just tickle your ears for about 20, 30 more minutes of your time. And if you understand that sometimes when we get into these ruts, and sometimes when we get into these places that we don't know if God is there, if God is hearing us, if God is celebrating with us, as God is walking with us, I hope today I can encourage you to believe that God knows all. Okay. So it starts with, on the third day, there was a wedding. God don't waste words and he don't mix numbers up. Three. Can I get one for the Father? One for the Son? And one for the one has not come in this text yet, but for the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost now, I promise y'all, you can't do nothing. There's nothing you can get accomplished without that spirit that dwells in you that's worth anything. So on the third day, God is doing something on the third day. And he comes. Now, this text seems general, but there's a lot of details in this text. And in this text, it's a wedding, it's a celebration, it's a ceremony, it's a gathering, as what we did yesterday. It's celebrating, it's coming together, and it's honoring that thing that God honors, which is called marriages. And God then comes, and he must be a part of this, because it must be a family member that some theologians say, but we don't know that 100%, but there's some things that give us that detail. And I love what his mother said to him in verse 3. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. At the end, I hope to show you what this wine is. At the end, I hope to show you how important this wine is. Sometimes we can whine about things because we don't know who can be the one that solves all things. When we get to fussing and complaining, and I dare say cussing, I'm going to pause for a minute. I'm going to pause for a minute. Huh? I want to get you holy, but all of us ain't all that holy. I want us to be that. But when you get out of character sometimes, when you allow the things of this world to start putting on your shoulders too much than you can bear, that means you're carrying it all by yourself. Because God said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. And so when you find yourself out of character, when you find yourself doing things that's outside the will of God, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, because it's bad for your health. But when you understand that a mother that knows her child, it's nothing like it. When a mother knows what she knows, it's so beautiful. When a father knows what he knows, it's so encouraging. The mothers of the church. And when I read this, I thought of something that the sister said to me yesterday at the cookout. And she said, it's about First Lady. She says, yeah, you know, I was fine, but I didn't want to teach. Somebody asked her, are you a teacher? She said, no, I'm not a teacher. She said, da-da-da. She said, I teach a little bit at church, and I teach. She said, but I didn't want to teach at church. She said, Ma Ricks or First Lady Ricks came to me and told me, you're going to teach. And somebody said, she asked you, she said, no, she didn't ask me what I was going to teach. She told me I was going to teach. And somebody said, was she smiling when she did it? Because everybody knows she'll put that smile on, but she'll take you by the hand and still take you where she wants you to go. But see, I'm so glad that my aunt thought enough of seeing who this woman was to see, I see a teacher in you. And I see that God is calling you to be greater than what you're comfortable at. And sometimes it takes for somebody else to call us into something that we've been called to. Because sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do to walk in the order of the things that God called us to. And ever since, the sister said, I've been teaching. And the mother said, but they ran out of wine. Woman, I don't march to the beat of nobody but my father. See, Jesus was already tested in Matthew by the devil. And the devil said, take these stones and turn them into bread. The Lord says, man don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Christ. See, the Lord doesn't move until his father say move, even if it's a mama. But when a mama knows, it's a little different. I'm so glad for mothers. I'm going to heat up in a minute. He says, woman, in verse 4, what does your concerns have to do with me? That's the question, is I see a question mark. But right after that, it says, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not come, and we're talking about drinking? See, that is really talking in the posture of him finishing his work on the cross. But what that got to do with, they need some old juice. Mama, Mark Jackson say, mama, there goes that man. Mama, she says, look, okay. Sometimes God will put you in positions that you don't understand that what you're doing now is going to equate or be a part of your future. Sometimes you don't know why God is moving you a certain way. Sometimes you don't know why God is calling you to a certain situation. Sometimes you don't understand why God is pushing you outside your comfort. And sometimes we get to complaining. Sometimes we get to whining, but the whole time we're not taking inventory of what God is about to do. And when you see that God had to sit back and ponder, I love what the mama does next. The mama says to the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I want you to know, if you don't take nothing else away from this message, I want you to take what Mary said to his disciples. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because I promise you, he's not going to leave you short of a miracle. He's not going to leave you short of a blessing. He's not going to leave you short of the understanding of the gift of God that he has bestowed upon your life. That's all you have to do. You don't have to figure it all out. You just have to listen to what God says to do. And if you do that, you will celebrate differently. You will stop complaining, man, you will stop blaming, but you will start seeing that what God has called you to, he's going to get you through. God doesn't call you to nothing that he's not going to take you there. He's not going to open the doors that he doesn't call you to. When you understand that, you know what it is to be a disciple of Christ. So if you don't take nothing else away, I want you to know what he can do. I want you to celebrate what he can do, but he needs a willing vessel. Okay, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to heat up in a minute, I promise you. But I love how God doesn't waste a word. Now, let me tell y'all something. I like hip hop. I do. I listen to a lot of Christian hip hop. I listen to a lot of conscious hip hop. You know, I don't like the whole lot of cussing. But if it got a message behind it, I want to hear it. And in rap, it's this thing called entendres. Double entendres, triple entendres. And sometimes it can be even more entendres than that. But it'll take the word wine, and it means more than one thing. But nobody's a better rapper than Jesus. Why listen to the fake ones when you can read about the real ones? So get this now. In verse 6, isn't that a funny number? The number of man? In verse 6, he says, now there's a set of six water pots of stone. Oh, didn't the devil say he turned this stone into bread? Okay. According to the manner of purification of the Jews. Now, I want to break some down for a second. They used to travel a lot by feet, by camels and donkeys, but they didn't have paved roads like us. And their feet would have a journey, and their feet would be dirty, their hands would be dirty. So when they come to this celebration, they would need to come and get their hands clean and their feet clean. So this water was set aside for the purification of washing, because that's what Jews did. But this water also represents purification, purity. It also represents the children of Israel. I know you might say, what are you talking about? I'll prove it in a little bit. But it represents the children of Israel. If you remember that the man came and the woman came and she asked for God to bless them, and he said, I didn't come for you all, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from off the table. So you and I are them. But he engrafted us in. I'm praise God for his engrafting. But this water is talking about who he came for, the wedding. See, I want you to understand that God comes to bring together, not to divide. I'm going somewhere. Lord, help me. What are you pulling from? Are you pulling and wanting a miracle coming from your mess? Or do you understand that God wants to pull from a place of purity? Because the blessing and the miracle came from the water pots that was pure. See, a lot of times, I don't know about y'all, but when you get your back against the wall and when your stuff starts stinking, you start examining yourself. Sometimes we either fight or flight. Sometimes we run away from God, or we get down and dirty and get into the attention of the God. What do you want from me? What do I have to do to be on the right side of you? See, sometimes God knows how to put circumstances and situations in your life where you have to humble yourself and ask God, what must I do to see your hand? And I charge you to believe in purity. And when you draw from a pure place, whenever you come back up, you can believe that if it's in God's will, he's going to change it. So the disciples come and they draw the water out. And they draw the water out with blind faith. And pulling out this water is difficult. God, you asking me to go take this to the man, And I know it ain't nothing but water. But what did Mary tell us? Whatever he say, do. Do it. I know sometimes what God is calling you to don't make sense. I know sometimes the way that we live our lives, it doesn't add up. I know sometimes that we have dotted I's and crossed T's, but it still does not come to what we believe it need to come. But that is not your job to find it out or figure it out. Your job is to be obedient. And if you continue to labor in the things of God, you will see that God is trying to show us something about who he is and what he is all about and all that he has made for you in your walk. So these guys go draw water. And God says, draw water. He didn't say draw wine. And I look at it and I can tell that it's water. Now I have to go and maybe embarrass myself and go present myself to the man that's the man in the room. And if I come bring him some water, when I know the man wants some wine, I'm going to be in trouble. Sometimes you may think God is leading you to a path of trouble. But if he's leading you in righteousness, sometimes that's what trouble is. They're not going to always see you coming for who you say you're coming for. But let's walk through this. Now let's go. I got a couple points. Jesus draws from purity. He draws for a purpose. He's drawing out for your passion. And he drew to be poured out. I'm going to say these points again. He drew for your purity. He draws for a purpose. And he's drawn out for your passion, but he drew to be poured out. I need to know, as Bereans, are we going to set ourselves apart? As we celebrate 33 years, I need to understand that we have been called to something great. And that call is not easy. But as Bereans that search this scripture, for Bereans that know this scripture, sometimes being pure and being holy is going to be hard. But I promise you, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, all of this will have its purpose. When you are taking in and drawing of this water, but yet, Lord, I need wine. Why is the mother saying it's his time? Because I know what my son's come to do. If you know why God has saved your soul, we don't get caught up in the things of this world no more. We don't give our time to the things of this world no more because we've been called for a purpose. The Lord showed me one thing. If you will stop being you and be who I bought you to be. If you will stop being you and be who I bought you to be. See, the Lord bought all of us at a cost on Calvary. Because we all were slaves to sin. Amen. And when you understand the price that he paid was precious and he gave his life that you and I may have freedom in Christ. And when we understand that freedom, who the Son set free is free indeed. And when we understand that, then we can't continue to play with this thing as though it's some type of cheap gold. And when we understand the weight of all that he has given us, all that he has lent us to understand, then we may be able to behold his glory different. And so when we understand that Christ is here and he came for a purpose, his mother knew his purpose. And when you know his purpose, you listen to him. Okay. So what is the purpose? Son, I know you think it's about wine, but son, I need you to show them now you are who you say you are. But you said your time hasn't come. No. But your time for your ministry has started. So you see, when Christ bought you and when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your ministry has started. I need you to understand that God has brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light for a reason. He wants you to be able to see different. And when you understand that purpose, then you continue to follow God, and He will continue to be able to order your steps according to His word. And when you continue to watch God, you're going to be amazed on what He does when you just continue to draw from purity. I want to tell you, draw from this word, because this word is what's pure. See, the children of Israel equal that because they were His chosen one. To be chosen these days, you just need to stay in His word. Those are His chosen ones. So the purpose is, son, I need you to show them that you come to marry us all together. But I thought I only came for the Israels. What about the Gentiles? I didn't come for them. Son, show them that you're coming for both. That's us now. Show them that you coming for not just the Jews, but you coming for the Gentiles also. Because we're at a wedding where two different individuals supposed to become one. So when I let you understand that if the Jews equal water, last time I checked, what the blood equals? The blood equals us. Because we don't get Christ if there's no shedding of blood. So the blood is always for us that was outside the ark. So when you understand that it started as water, but that same pot became blood or wine, you understand that God is letting you understand that this thing has a double entendre. Oh, I'm ready to go now. Y'all done mess with me now. You done been too quiet. So now we got to get the party started. So now let me get you to understand. So listen, I know I started as water. I started as pure, but I'm going to turn this thing into wine. I'm going to make sure that I don't forget about you. Now I'm at a Jewish wedding, but I'm about to show y'all that I come for everybody. Now get this. I didn't give the best wine to the people up front. The people up front came to the party first. All the public officials, all the who's who, they came in first and they ushered them in day by day. And then you always get a good wine, as He said, to the people of favor. The Lord said, I'm not impressed by who you are. I'm letting you know that I care about everybody, but I'm going to hold it back and I'm going to give you the rich stuff even at the end. See, listen, the children of Israel were His favorite, but you better understand your favor. See, God has said, listen, I talked to the children of Israel when I wanted to talk to them. But listen, you got me all the time. You can talk to me as much as you want. I've given you this gift called the Holy Ghost. See, they didn't have what you have. See, they was my favorite, but you got my favor. And when you understand the favor that you have to communicate with God, why don't you call upon His name? Why don't you pray to Him more? Why don't you call on the name of Jesus whenever you find yourself in places where you want to complain, when you want to murmur? That means you don't believe that He said what He said. Then that means you need to get your Bible open and be Bereans and get in that word and remember His truth. Because when you remember His truth, it'll humble you very quickly. And it'll make you call on the name of Jesus like you never have before. And when you understand, you don't need to pick up the phone and call him and her and her and him. You need to call on Him. Then you understand who you're serving. Because my God turned a no thing into a something. He turned a nobody into a somebody. He turned my darkness into light. And when I understand that God will make it all right, it ain't nothing wrong with me having a moment, but it ain't nowhere that I can't go to that I can't call on the name of Jesus. And when I call on the name of Jesus, I got to know that every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that my Lord is Jesus and that Jesus moves all things at His time. If it's in His will, you better get in it. When you understand, when people leave a will, you're happy that your name is in it. My God. Mama said, knock them out. My cool Jay. Cool Jesus. Y'all still thinking LL. Nah. I'm talking about cool Jay, cool Jesus. Mama said, knock them out. Get your boys. Whatever he told you to do, get your boys. Get your girls. Because we got to turn this world upside down. Go get your boys. Go get your girls. And listen to what mama said. Mama said, knock him out. Because cool Jay is in the house. His name's Jesus, not Jay. Okay. So I'm coming to an end. So the children of Israel represent purity. The Gentiles represent the blood. But Lord, you want me to draw out of a place of water. And now you want me to take it to the master of the feast. He said, take it to my daddy. This is symbolic of his father. Whatever you bring before the Lord, he will fix it. Whatever you bring to the Lord, I come to tell you, he will fix it. I know you came here with your mess. I know you came here with your ideologies. I know you came here with your fears. I just asked you to draw it. I just asked you to draw it. And I asked you to present it to the man. I asked you to present it to the king, the master feast one. His name is Jesus. Listen, Jesus didn't say bring it to me because I was sent by my father. Take it to the man who can fix it. Well, Jason, he said the master of the ceremony. But last time I checked, we're going to get married one day. His master is Jesus, but it's his father. Get this. You can bring your cares to the Lord. And watch what he do. Have you started taking your cares to the Lord and it didn't seem like nothing was changing? I keep bringing them. I keep bringing them. He said, not till I pick it up, it's going to change. We got to wait patiently. I ain't on your time. I'm on nobody's time. Because I'm not defined by time. So get out your feelings. I'm on my time. There's no time but the right time. Let me say that again. I'm on nobody's time. I'm just on the right time, which is my time. So get this. Some of us are crazy enough to bring this water to Jesus. And the beauty of it all is, I handed it to him, understanding it was still water. Now I'm about to get blasted. But watch what happens. When the king takes his sip, it becomes wine. Jesus letting you know that I came to be your poured out offering. It's in the Bible. He comes, and when you start pouring him out, he turns into what he is. He started pure, and he's always pure, but then he turns into the blood. And I understand a song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, it didn't change until it was ready to be poured. And that's what his mama knew. She didn't know how it was going to happen, but she knew that he is the drink offering that's going to be poured out. So when Jesus says, go and take of that water and fill it to the brim, don't leave some of your problems. Fill it to the brim. Bring them all to him. See, sometimes we like to bring some of them to him. And you act like he don't know about all of them. Why are you playing with him? But you say you know who he is. If you know he's omniscient, put it all on the table and let him turn this situation around for you. It ain't no need to have to keep coming back and forth. Hey, go, because you don't know when you're going to get it again. I'm telling y'all, empty yourself out with your mess. You can't change it, but Jesus can. I don't care what you think about yourself. If you would just present yourself before him at the altar, when God gets to pulling it out, he's not drinking of your water. He's drinking of his blood, because that's who he gave the keys to. When you understand how God allows everything his son to say and do to be honored, you'll continue to come back to the source. And when we understand that he held the good wine back for us, the good wine, the power, the dunamis, when we understand that there's nothing that God can't do in any circumstance we find ourselves in if it lines up according to his will. New Berean, do y'all believe that God can do anything? Really? I know we in the spirit right now, but I'm talking about that we walking. I'm gonna tell you straight up. That's what I confessed to Pastor Casey this morning. And I've been preaching here for a mighty long time. I ain't always believing. I'm gonna tell y'all now, I'm still believing in fear. I'm gonna tell you the truth, shame the devil. But I know I got to bring it to him, because I know the transformation that he's calling me to. And I know that he's trying to take this little bit of drop in me and stretch it. But I gotta let him. If I believe, I will leave all the cares of this world behind me, because I know that God is a promise keeper. I know God is a way maker. I know God is my rock. I know God is my strength. I know God is my redeemer. I know God is my lily in my valley. I know God is the one that said that I love you. I know God is the one that said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I know God is the one that says that if you cast your cares upon me, I care and I will take your burdens away from you. If I come to him, I know God is faithful and just to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. I know that God is the one that said, I laid down my life that you may have life more abundantly. I know that God is the one that said that if you will just lift me up and I will draw all men if you will lift me up. I know that God is a sustainer. I know God is a rewarder. I know God is a redeemer. I know God is a just God. I know God is faithful. I know God is almighty. I know God is the Prince of Peace. I know God is the God Almighty. I know God is El Shaddai. I know God is who he say he is. So why would I fear man or fear what I do to myself when God is a forgiving God, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of peace, a God of redemption, a God of love, a God of a sound mind if you walk with me. And when you understand that I want to turn your water into something that's called the blood. I did the blood, but can you pass out my wine? Commune with me is what he tell you. And we commune. We take of the bread that represents the body, and the blood represents, the juice of the wine represents his body. And I'm so glad that he poured himself out for me and you. He allowed us to be thirsty, but yet he tells us, if you come to the brook, you'll thirst no more. Lord, I'm sorry for not always coming to where I know my refreshment's at. Bereans, If you don't listen to Pastor Rick's about nothing else, you got to search these scriptures. Because the word is alive and it's living and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we forsake this, we playing Russian roulette every day. We can't say we believe and we not doing this. We can't say we believe he can do all things. When we forget, what James say? A double-minded man, he looks in the mirror and he walks away and he forgets what he just saw. How many of y'all forget so quickly that you were saved and bought by the blood of Jesus? Huh? Could the wrong person cross you? Huh? You say, Jesus work it on me. Huh? Nah, cut that mess out. That ministry got to go. You got to keep working on me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I'm not knocking it. But we can't stay there, saints. We got the thirst for righteousness. Because he is who he say he is. He's the great I am. I didn't understand for a long time. What is the I am? I am everything that I say that I am. And I can be everything you need me to be. But you got to come to me. You got to go draw of that water that I told my disciples to draw of. My mama told you to listen to me. And if you draw from this word, I promise you there will be no boss. There'll be no spouse. There'll be no situation. There'll be no child. There'll be no finance that he cannot reveal himself to you in this word. And bring healing and change and transformation. I promise y'all, God is opening up a window that he wants to show you signs and wonders in these last days who he is. And he wants us to work it through the word of truth. And if we had this word in our hearts, Bereans, we're going to be amazed on what God will show up and do in our lives. And how God wants to put us on display for his glory. And so I tell you, as 33 years in, you're not called the Bereans for no reason. I need us to hold fast to this word. And I need us to understand that we're going to search these scriptures and know that what God says, we cannot be bamboozled. God has given you a shepherd to fill in the gap until the next called man comes in here, because it's very important that you must have a shepherd. And he has been giving you what he needed to give you. His desire wasn't just to lay here and let y'all die. He's still trying to put you in a position to thrive. Listen, you got to see that it's bigger than one man, but it's all about one man. And if you follow that man, named Jesus, I declare and decree that he will do everything he say, not Jason. I'm not declaring and decreeing on my name. Because it means nothing. But his name means everything. And so I ask you, what are you whining about? What are you whining? Can you celebrate what he can do and what he has done? Because God is faithful. And God is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. And if we will lay aside our journeys of our own and we will bear his cross, I promise you we can turn tide water, but not just tide water, but this world upside down. I promise you it's things and people in here that need to reach people in farther and greater places, but we got to get out of self. And we got to let God use us. We got to do what mama said. Can we listen to mama? Because mama ain't going to steer you wrong. Mama said, I know my boy. Just listen to him. Mama said, whatever he tell you to do, just do it. And I promise you, the man that drunk the wine, he didn't know about the miracle, but the disciple did. You know how many people you blessed that don't know all that it took to get blessed? You know how many people that you served that don't know all it took for you to serve them? But when you get the gratitude, not out of what they got, but out of God using you, you're in the right vein. Because God just said, can I use you? Can I be your potter? You ain't no flower. You the vase. Because see, I can take one flower out of here and put another one. They're interchangeable. But can I pour something in you? So whatever comes in here can get nourished. I know this is a fake flower, but I need the water. The water's gonna make this plant live. Without no water, it's gonna die. If you and I don't got the water, this world gonna die. Because the flower will wither away. That's what the word says. But if we will be the water that he's made to sit in this pot, we'll see God's hand. And I promise y'all, he wants to amaze us. He wants to show us a glory that we haven't seen. God, he's not boring. He's not a man that he shall lie. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you today, Lord, and I thank you. And Lord, as I stand here first in line, Lord, it's fearful sometimes, God. And it's only fearful, God, because sometimes I'm not soaking your word up. But Lord, when I get a shot in my arm, God, it is so good. God, it's freedom. It's proof. It's real. God, you have shown up for me too many times. Lord, you've shown up for people in this room too many times. But God, help us to be steadfast and unmovable. And Lord, I thank you for 33 years, Lord. And Lord, I know that you didn't join us together for nothing. So God, as we celebrate your goodness, God, you have been in the business way more than 33 years. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for showing up and showing out. And God, as I come to you now, and I don't know, Lord, what people are struggling with, but I first want to do a call to know you as Savior. And Lord, as I pray that while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let them meditate personally. It's not about nobody else. But God, if there's a soul in here that do not know you as Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, they have not personally accepted you as their Savior, I pray that today be the day of salvation. And as you hear my voice, if you want to know that Jesus can save your soul, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I ask, will you raise your hand for me and just acknowledge that I want to know Jesus. I want to know him as my Savior. Is there anyone in here that needs to find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Today, he is willing to forgive you of your sin, pardon you from your debts that you have made, and forgive them and remember them no more. Is there one? Well, I thank you. Well, as I get ready to close, my heart is heavy. If you stand in need of courage to live out this word, courage to be more faithful. You're faithful because you're here. But sometimes, Lord, we need more. I just ask you, as I stand in need of prayer, I ask you, stand with me. I just want to pray over you. If you stand in the need of prayer, if you stand in the need of being encouraged to do God's will in his way, I pray that you would just stand. Don't worry about who's looking, because we all are just vessels. You stand to get closer to God, not closer to your neighbor. All of us that know that we are designed to be on the battlefield, but we fall short. And if that's where you're at, it's okay. But I want to pray for you today. I want to ask God to see your stand. And I want him to hold you up. And I want him to continue to speak to you. Dear God, I come to you right now, Lord, as I lift up my hands. And Lord, as I pray up for the saints that have a knowledge, God, that they know, God, where they're at, but God, they want to be closer to thee. And so, Lord, you know where they stand, God. You know every individual heart in this place. And God, I pray that you will honor the request and the cry that each person is standing in. God, whatever they are calling your name for, God, I pray that you will, in the name of Jesus, meet them where they're at. Because God, you're not unjust. God, you are faithful. You see where they're at. You know their hearts. And God, I know that you are a rewarder, again, who diligently seek you, God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will have your way and that you will use these disciples to do great things for your kingdom. And God, I pray that you will raise them up in a way that, God, that you will be able to be lifted up, God, because of their faithfulness. And God, I pray that they will continue and we will all continue to be faithful to your calling, to wherever you lead us. And God, that we may be able to learn how to trust you by and by, through and through. And so, Lord, as I hear my uncle in my head, it's more than a notion. So, Lord, I know that, God, we mean well, but God, help us when that time we grow weary. Help us that time that we grow faint. Help us that time we want to turn and run away. Help us that time when we find ourselves in dark places, but quickly turn around, God, and find you. Because, God, you're never lost and you never leave us. But, God, help us to always remember that we're prodigals and let us know where home is. And home is where your heart is. And home is where your chair is. And so, God, wherever you sitteth, let us find you in that secret place. And, Lord, let us be redeemed in that place. Let us cry out in that place. Let us lift up holy hands in that place. Let us call out your name in that place. Let us be rejuvenated. Let our quench be taken care of in that place. Because you are who you say you are. And so, Lord, I bless your name and I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.